Fagan's Mill, a historic structure composed mainly of gray stone and a brick creamery to its side, rests in the woods surrounded by sycamore and cedars. Some of its federal-style windows are now boarded up, while others with broken panes allow the foliage to grow inside the crevices. The mill is the third of three such structures on the spot off of Wheatland Road near Charlestown, West Virginia, since 1754. The mill was originally built by the Haynes family, but was later burned by General David Hunter during the Civil War. The mill was rebuilt in 1868, but fell victim to another fire in 1937, as Jim Fagan's great-grandfather operated a cutlery and sharpening business in which a spark got into some oily rags and smoldered. Now the shattered windows and overgrown foliage have taken over the old mill, and although the building has been left as it was in 1943, there are new signs of life in the surrounding area. Great horned owls nest in the sycamore trees surrounding the mill, and according to owner Daniel Lutz, he hopes these owls mean something positive.
Beyond the cedars over there, about 500 feet, is the main body of the stream. The head race up there was all man-made and created, and the mill pond was once larger than it is now because the people excavating marl, lime marl out of here in the 50s pushed it back. And this is the last of eight mills that were on this stream in 1800.
As the latest owner of Fagan's Mill, Lutz has goals of restoring the historic site back to its original and operable condition as a water-powered grist mill. The Preservation Alliance of West Virginia approved the mill in January as an endangered historic structure, but the Jefferson County Farmland Protection Board rejected the mill's application for protection. Lutz estimates he would need about $400,000 to put the mill back into its original operating condition. The 1870 Fritz wheel, made by the Fritz Ironworks Company in Martinsburg, is one of the main components in need of restoration.
The wheel is going to be the last thing that we rebuild and balance, because that's going to be the biggest project, which will also have to be with the rebuilding of the head box. The equipment on the inside I'm going to show you, the screeners, cleaners, sifters, and packers. Ryan will disassemble those and then refabricate the parts that he needs and where it won't be visible. We will probably cheat and use galvanized metal instead of the old sheet steel and iron that was in them to begin with, because all this equipment is very close to, if not older than, 100 years old.
Other maintenance needs include the clearing of trees, preserving and securing the federal-style windows, and getting the powder post beetles under control. In doing so, Lutz hopes the site will eventually serve as a backdrop for wedding receptions and reunions. Lutz also remarks that once the mill reaches operable condition, he will be able to market grain production.
It's never had genetically modified grain through it, and as long as I'm alive, it won't. And I've talked with some cousins who have land here in the area, including leasing some of my land over here. I've crunched the numbers, and I can buy, if they could raise non-GMO grain, I can pay them twice the market price and still be able to market an adequate product.
The brick annex connected to the mill was once home to its creamery, and Lutz has plans to bring it back to its original state as well. The equipment within the mill includes butcher block and stainless steel tables, a good housekeeping icebox, meat grinders, and a hand-crank drill press.
All the equipment's in essentially the same position it was when the mill was closed in 1943. The grain was offloaded in the basement, in the cellar, and it came up through these elevators and then down into the hoppers. And the elevators are where they stopped in 1943.
Executive Director of the Preservation Alliance of West Virginia, or PAWV, Daniela Presta, added six sites to the Endangered Historic Structures list this year, which includes an estimated total of 45 to 50 structures that have been included over the past 5 years. The list is a collection of at-risk historic structures that could be lost due to neglect, deterioration, lack of funding, the availability of maintenance, and fires or major storms. LaPresta says the PAWV identifies structures based on their level of endangerment and chances to be lost.
Some of the advantages are more public awareness and publicity. We are a statewide organization and we reach outside of the state to people who used to live here but have moved away. So I think there's the greater notice and publicity. Also, then we provide support to the local organizations on a case-by-case basis. So we do a lot of general things like do the site analyses and that kind of stuff, but we also will do things as needed for certain sites and what the support group asks.
In order to be considered for the Endangered Historic Structures list, sites have to be registered on the National Register of Historic Places, have a local support group, and have a reuse plan in place. Each year, the PAWV collects nominations in November and announces the list in February. A field service representative visits each site to conduct an analysis to determine the steps in order to save a structure or put it into working condition. The field service representative also conducts specialty workshops for volunteers and groups that have surplus resources like roofing materials, extra windows, and doors. The goal is to help engage projects and get sites to the point where they can be saved. The level of PAWV's involvement is based on the site support group. The PAWV cannot provide funding, and sometimes that's all a group needs, in which case the PAWV will help groups write letters for grants. La Presta says Fagan's Mill is a particularly important addition to the list.
The first thing is its historic significance and the fact that it's one of the oldest mills in the state, and it, as far as we know, is the oldest mill in the county. And also, we think that it has a lot of support from the owner and from the local community, and that it's the reuse project for that, the potential reuse of basically just putting it back into service and milling grains there that can be used by farmers around the region, that's a great use. And so, you know, we just want to try to provide support and publicity in any way that we can.
One of Lutz's main obstacles is getting Jefferson County to grant him the protection to preserve the mill. Lutz also has ideas to turn Fagan's Mill into a haunted mill during Halloween and to use the Haynes family homestead as a museum to display some of the artifacts that will not be restored and used within the mill. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Rebecca Glover in Shepherdstown.